Praise God. Well, we have been on this little study, healing clinic, we're calling it, been going on for, these many weeks. And we've talked about healing and redemption, and we talked about the serpent in the wilderness. That was a really awesome message. Heard, learned things that night from Greg Barber I'd never known before. Last week, boy, Nate just slapped it on us with the resisting the devil. And that applies in so many areas of our lives. Man, that was good. I think he posted about that today. If you're in our church Facebook group, if you're on Facebook, you should be in our church Facebook group. If you're not, get in it. I don't know how you do that, but talk to Nate. He can do something with that. But and then he posted in there a little video admonishment to us today to, you know, remind us about resisting the devil. And boy, that's key to this. But tonight I'm going to share along, I'm going to continue with the healing clinic, but I'm going to share in a different line, you know, along a different line than what we have in any of the other weeks, and from a really a different perspective. And so I just invite you to come along for this little journey. May you enjoy it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know, healing, let's just talk for a moment about what healing is. We know from the fall of man, we know that from the garden, when man fell, when he sinned, that he fell under a curse from sin. Sin, in its essence, is poison to man. Sin brings death, and sin began to work its death in even our physical bodies. Now, spiritually, we died immediately, separated from God, put out of the garden. But our bodies then began to decay. They began to age, and then we became susceptible to sickness and disease, which really, as a result of sin, began to pollute the earth. And so everything was perverted. And so then now our bodies that were designed by God to be healthy and whole and strong and to live seemingly to live forever, even our bodies, but they were corrupted and began to die. And it took a long time for Adam to die. How old was Adam when his physical body died? 900 and how many? 900 and something years. I know the oldest man that ever lived was Methuselah, and he was 969. Is that what he was? And so they used to live a long time before the flood. I'm going to just let you in on something. In this world that we live in, I wouldn't want to live 900 years. I think, you know, okay, I'm just saying. It's a long time to live on this earth in the mess that it's in. But after the flood, then man's life expectancy was cut way down. And but anyway, that curse was working in body. So here we are now, all these years later, and we're still dealing with the curse. And we know that Jesus came. We just sang about it. He paid the price to buy us out from under that curse. And we know that when we receive Jesus, we're born again. Our spirits become brand new. But our spirits are the only things that are immediately changed. The real us, we become a new creation. But then we're stuck with the same mind that we had, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. The Bible tells us we need to do something about that. We need to renew it, make it new. We need to undergo a renovation in our minds. And he gives us the word to help us to renovate our minds. But then here we are with these bodies. And healing has been provided all the way from the time that man fell until now. Healing has been provided for God's people. But healing, even the healing that we know, the really great healing power of God that we know and experience, the greatest manifestations of healing, even those, all and really fall under the category of being, so to speak, a medicine or a treatment, or maybe this way, a Band-Aid. Because these bodies have not experienced really the reality of the resurrection in them in its fullness yet. Because these bodies eventually are going to wear out and they're going to be put in the ground. But the day is coming when these will be caught up out of the ground. And if we have gone on to be with the Lord and our bodies are in the ground, our spirits will be reunited with these bodies, but these bodies will be made new, not just you know, healed. They'll be completely, y'all listen, Rhonda, you will like this. Rhonda, we are getting a much better body. We're getting a real upgraded body, one we don't have to drag down to the gym and buff it on a regular basis. I don't know, maybe we will, but I don't think it will hurt in quite the same way it does now when we, you know, are doing those burpees. It's not going to be the same. Maybe we, do you think we're still going to have to work out in the resurrected bodies? Nate's counting on it that we won't. Nate's like, we're going to just eat chicken wings all day and we're not going to have to work out. I don't know about that, Nate. That's just your doctrine. That's not a sanctioned doctrine of good news, okay? But we are getting resurrected bodies. And I just want you to think about that for a minute, what you have to look forward to. You have to look forward to bodies that have not been corrupted, that have not been stained, that are not aging, that are not decaying. You know, the things, I remember years ago I read somewhere that on average, a person deals with something in their body going awry every 3 days. Whether it's, you know, a rash, you know, an earache, you know, you stub your toe, you know, whatever it is, or, you know, you get a disease or whatever. But on average, in other words, bodies regularly, you have to deal with them regularly. You don't just go like months and months and months and not notice something's going on and you're having to do upkeep on your body. You're having to fight off aging. And then you're having to really be proactive in walking in healing from God, because bodies, you know, they're under attack, it seems, all the time. So we are talking about healing, and thank God for healing. But I want you to know that healing, even the healing, the very best healing that we see, it is still not God's best. His best is He's given us a brand new body. But in the meanwhile, thank God for healing. Aren't you glad? Thank God for healing. I know I'm very grateful for healing. Now let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to read some scripture there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to help you tonight with your perspective a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 12. Paul's writing, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful." Now that's a lesson we all need to learn. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. You know, 2 dozen chicken wings at 10 o'clock at night, or pretty much any time of day, Nate, are not necessarily helpful. But they are lawful, but they may not be helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that, Paul's saying, everything is, you know, lawful for me, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. This is a good spot here to mention addiction. You know, people say, can Christians drink alcohol or use alcohol? Well, you know, there's big debate in the church one way or another, but I can tell you this, you don't need to be under the power of it. You don't need to be under the, and if there's any smidge of concern, you might be under the power of it. You need to definitely leave it alone. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Now, there's a word for you tonight. Your body is not for sexual immorality, but your body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. He's talking there that just as Jesus was brought out of that grave, we sang about, He called me and I ran out of that grave. He was brought out of that grave with a resurrected body. Later on, we see Him, He's passing through. He seems not to even be limited by the laws of physics anymore. He's appearing and He's disappearing and He's passing through things. He's no longer limited to the laws of physics that are governing this natural world. He's got that upgraded resurrected body. Have you ever thought about this? The only one in the universe with a resurrected body is Jesus. All the people that are in heaven don't have their resurrected bodies yet. They're just in heaven. Their spirits are in heaven, but their bodies are in the graves in the earth. So they haven't even taken on their resurrected bodies. We're all getting our bodies at the same time. So when we go to heaven, even then, We depart, we'll go, but the body will go on the ground, but the day's coming. We're all going to get our body. Can you imagine that day? We're going to be running around squealing like little kids at these great resurrected bodies that we got. It's going to be a big day. So just think about that. Okay. But he also is going to raise us up by his power. So we have that promise. That's a promise from God. Now, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Now, he's talking about our physical bodies. Your bodies are members of Christ. Now, see, man, we know this, is a spirit. That's the real you. That's the supreme part of you, the reigning part of you. A spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, your intellect, your emotions, your decision maker, your soul, and then your body. So your spirit is supreme. A lot of people don't live that way, but that's the way it is. And your body is subject to your spirit and your soul. And because our spirits are one with God and we belong to Him, it says here, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So, because we belong to God, our spirits are united, one with Him, then our souls and our bodies are subject to us and are under us. Your body belongs to your spirit. Then your body belongs to God. You see that? So, and your bodies, because you're in Christ, your body is a member of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Now, this is some pretty graphic talk that Paul's got going on here. Do you see what he's saying right there? Did you understand that? He's saying your physical body actually is part of Christ. Your physical body is a member of Christ. And so when you engage in sexual immorality, and in this case, he's talking about, you know, I'm not going to get graphic here, but I could, you know. when you are joined, you know, when you get it, with a harlot, then what you're doing is you're subjecting Christ to that. Now, let me say this. It doesn't have to be a harlot. Anything that's outside of what God has established in the Word of God as the design and what He's ordained for you to do with your physical body when it comes to your sexual life, anything outside of that, you're subjecting Christ to something. It's not just you. That might shake up the moment if you think about it. What you're about to subject Christ to. It's one thing for you to be involved in it. It's a whole other thing for you to bring Christ into that. Certainly not. Or do you not know that he is joined? Y'all are sitting there going, I thought we were talking about healing. What in the world? She tries to work that into all her messages. Well, you came. It was Wednesday night. Okay. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. It's interesting. Sexual intercourse involves two becoming one. And y'all, I'm just throwing this in a little extra here, you know, because you made the effort to come on Wednesday night. Y'all, most people have no idea. But this is so, oh man, this is disturbing. When you have intercourse with somebody, you become one with them, one flesh. And whatever is on that flesh gets on your flesh. Now, we know, in just like naturally speaking, we know this is how diseases can be transferred. But I'm going to tell you, the worst thing that's transferred is not diseases. It's like, what? Spiritual things. And I know people that they have had this, and there was some evil spirits over here, and the next thing they know, they're fighting off demonic powers, oppression, depression, really bad stuff, and they don't really even know what's going on. I can tell you, when you become one flesh with somebody, you think, well, I wasn't becoming one flesh. I was just, you know, pleasuring myself. No, you were becoming one flesh. And you just submitted yourself to whatever was on them coming on you. Now, that's a really good reason for you to walk upright before God and to keep yourself. And by the way, if you have kids, this is a really good thing for you to tell them. Because you don't know what somebody else has. Now, we think of this in terms of, well, did you go and were you checked out by the doctor and did you get a clean bill of health? I'm going to tell you, you can't get a clean bill of health when it comes to this matter. What'd you do, check with their pastor? Do you have a note from your pastor saying you're free from demonic activity, oppression of the enemy? Oh, okay, well, then we can. This was not the message, Nate. I'm sorry. But it's good. It needs to be said. If you can't talk about it in church, why did Paul write about it? He's the one. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Flee. Run. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. If I'm lying to you, you know, that's not good. It's a sin against you. But sexual immorality, I'm sinning against myself and my own body. It's a different kind of a sin. Paul puts it in a different place, a different category. But we read all that so we could get to verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Do you not know that your body, say my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, I don't know if you've thought of that today, but your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Your body is where God lives. You know, we think God lives, God is in the trees. I've heard people say, you know, my church is in the forest because God lives in nature. Well, I understand what you mean because you can call on the Lord there, but God has chosen to dwell within his people. God lives in people. And God lives in us and in our bodies, and he has made our bodies his dwelling place. And he lives in us, and our bodies are actually his temple. This is what he inhabits. Do you not know that your body, and again, it's not like the pastor's body or the really nice people at the church's body. Anybody who has been bought with a price and has received that free gift of salvation, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Now, that's a lot of responsibility. I'm not my own. I have this body, and though I have command of my body because God gave me a free will, it's really not mine. It's not mine. Now, we treat our bodies like they're ours, and people say that. It's my body, and I can do with it what I want to do. You know, even in political arenas, when people are arguing about certain subjects, you know, it's my body and I can do with it what I want to do. But it's not your body. And I'll say this, if you're not born again, your body's actually not your body then. There's really only two beings who own bodies on planet Earth. One is God. Do you want to guess who the other is? Because if you have not been born again, you are still a slave of sin. So your body doesn't belong to you then. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Because he bought us holy. W-H-O-L. Is it two L's? Two L's. L-L-Y. Holy. Completely. He bought us. And in buying us, he bought our bodies. And then he moved into our bodies. And now he lives in our bodies. We are not our own. For you, which is what verse 20 tells us, were bought at a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus. Therefore, because we were bought at a price, in the context in which he's talking about our bodies. Because our bodies, they were included in the price. Our bodies were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So here's the deal. You are not your own, and your body is not your own. Now, normally, when we teach this or read these scriptures, it's from the perspective that I've been going, you know, through all this. Your body doesn't belong to you. You don't just get to do with your body what you want to do. It's God's dwelling place. Let God use your body. But here's the other part of it. Your body is not your own. Therefore, you, though you are responsible for it, are not entirely responsible for it. There's somebody upline from you who also has responsibility for your body. So you're not on your own with your body. Because you're using it, but somebody else owns it. Any of y'all ever rented a house? Or an apartment? One of the great things about renting as opposed to buying is when you're renting, you get to use the place, but you don't have to replace everything that breaks down. If the house needs a new roof and you're renting, guess who pays for the roof? The owner. Now put that, think of that. This is your body. And you're using it, but you don't own it. And so while you have responsibility, just like a renter has responsibility to keep up the house and to steward the house and to manage things, when it gets down to it, it's the owner's job to make sure that that house is functioning as it should. I know, Kyle, you're a landowner. I mean, a homeowner. I mean, A landlord. That was the word. You're a landlord, and it's a big responsibility being a landlord. I mean, people call you up, and they're like, you know. I would never do that if I was renting from you. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure people are like, what you going to do about it, Kyle? It's your job. This is your house. You got to fix it. Well, imagine you have a malfunction in your body. You need a new roof. The air conditioning broke down. There's a bad leak. The pipes burst. Now, if the pipes burst at your rental house, I hope you'd at least have the sense to turn off the water. But when it gets down to it, the landlord is responsible for fixing that. And when you have a malfunction in your body, the landlord has an obligation, because he owns it, to fix it. Now, it goes both ways. We're responsible to yield our bodies to him, but we also get the benefit of the fact that he owns us, and these are his bodies. So it's not just up to me and you. Now, I'm really sharing this with you tonight because I want you to have a different perspective, because honestly, most believers, even that believe in healing, they are trying to, in some way, to reach out and get healing. Instead of recognizing that God owns their body and he is obligated as the owner to take care of the body. If people understood this, there wouldn't be the question of, is it God's will to heal me? That's just such a foolish question in light of really the revelation of the scripture. Is it God's will to heal? But because we've been ignorant, we haven't known, we haven't understood what's really going on, then we get caught up in this, oh, I don't know if it's God's will to heal or not. It really makes no sense. You have to realize this body is part of God's equipment. And I would say this, these bodies, and I'll show you this in scripture in a minute, these bodies are not just a piece of equipment. This is his best equipment that he's got. You know, people like to say that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, because that's what the scripture says. And then, you know, there's the idea that we should do something to take care of this earth, and we shouldn't try to destroy it, and we shouldn't try to pollute it, and we should do what we can to take care of it. Isn't this, you know, that's good wisdom, and we need to do the best we can with what we have. But in the same thing with our bodies. But ultimately, God, he owns the earth, and he owns our bodies. And he needs to take care of them, because that's his responsibility. Does it mean we don't have a responsibility? No. But it means ultimately, let's think about him. This is his equipment. These belong to God. Now, you know, again, I love to use military examples, and I know very little about it, so I just think probably every time I do, I would just whack it up. Y'all feel free to come and correct me. Frank, just come and straighten me right out. But, you know, in the military, and I think about now, we have a lot of machines, but for thousands of years, when forces went out to fight, most of the equipment they had was the infantry. Most of the equipment that they had was a man with a spear. Maybe at some point they got a bow and an arrow. But most of what they had, most of the force, they didn't have tanks, they didn't have planes, they didn't have ships. Most of what they had were bodies. And so the forces that usually dominated were the ones that had the most bodies. So, you know, that's the deal. The most bodies you can get, then you can withstand the onslaught, because if, you know, if you wipe out one wave, then there's another wave coming. So you can just, if you can have enough waves keep coming, you're going to be hard to defeat. It literally just gets down to who can withstand the highest body count. Because that's all they had. Well, in a fighting force, even today, even though we have equipment and all, on some level, even though we recognize these airmen, these sailors, these soldiers are people, but on some level, they're really bodies. I need a body, you know, to man this. I need a body to drive this. I need a body to do this. I need, you know, and we still have people that go out on the lines and fight. So it really gets down to the force is really just made up of physical bodies. Now, you know, it's the same thing in the kingdom. God has a force in the earth, and his force, we can say they're people, but let's look at it. What does that mean when we say his force in the earth is people? Really, it's people who live in bodies. So God's force in the earth are people, their bodies, because he lives in bodies. And so these bodies are really important in the plan of God, because if you don't have a body, you don't get to stay on planet Earth. So God has a real vested interest in you having a body that's functioning, in a body that can move, in a body that can speak, in a body that can stretch out its hands, in a body that can, you know, work for him. I mean, just on the most basic level, he needs you in your body to be in good working order, because you are his force in the earth. I'm just trying to get you to look at it in a different way. And instead of seeing, I think if we understood this, it would make a big difference. We're not trying to get God to heal us. I'm going to tell you, it's just like the guy that calls Kyle and says, look, the dishwasher ain't washing the dishes. You got a problem. It's not his problem. The only problem is it's just causing him some discomfort, because he's gotten to wash his own dishes until Kyle gets over there and fixes it or replaces it. But that's Kyle's problem. He's in discomfort, but it's Kyle's issue to solve. If we started seeing our own bodies as, look, this is your body, I may be in some discomfort right now, but this is your job to fix. This is on you. Does anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? It's just a different way of looking at it. But this is the deal, man. It's the deal. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians verse 4. 6 and 7, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a good scripture. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God has put in these earthen vessels the glory of God. In these earthen vessels, his glory He could have put it anywhere. He put it in a box. He put it behind a veil, Matt talked about on Sunday. Now it is inside of earthen vessels that can move and walk and go places. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. He has put his treasure in our bodies. Do you think that he has an interest in your body? Do you think that heaven is counting on your body functioning? See, it's not just you that has an interest in your body working. It's not just your family that has an interest in your body working. Heaven has an interest in your body working. Because you're the force. And you're where the treasure is. Our bodies, they carry God and his presence in the earth. And not only that, all of us together are his body in the earth. Now we know we are the body of Christ, and I think we often think of that like in spiritual terms, which it's true. Spiritually we're the body of Christ, but I'm going to tell you, the body of Christ lives in the earth in these bodies. Christ lives in the earth. He used to be in one body, but that body ascended. And the great mystery of the ages is he then moved into these bodies. So instead of having one body, now he's in millions of bodies all over the earth. Now, let's just take that for a minute. What do you think when Jesus was on the earth in his earthly ministry? What do you think the day that he was out giving the Sermon on the Mount? That day. And suddenly he had strep throat. And all these people have gathered. And we got one body. God's got one body to work through. One single human body to work through in the earth. Do you think that it took a lot of faith, if that had even been possible for Jesus to succumb to strep throat, would it have taken a lot of faith for him to receive healing from strep throat? I mean, let's just think about it. All of God's force in the earth is concentrated in this one physical body. You think what Jesus walked through the earth knowing and how he saw himself. But in the same way, you are the body of Christ. In the same way, God lives in you. In the same way, you work for him. In the same way, he manifests himself through you. So why do you can't even imagine Jesus being stricken with some illness and God ever allowing such a thing. But then for you, it's like, your thinking is just all mixed up. You don't understand who you are. You don't understand that you live in God's property. He's the landlord here. He's responsible to keep this thing up. And if it needs repairs, he will get on the job. But that's not the way we think about it. We're just trying to hope that maybe one day he'll, you know, just flick off a little piece of healing for us. Now, let's just think, because we've spent a lot of time talking about healing. Why does God heal us? Why is there healing? Well, I think we all absolutely would agree that one reason that God heals us is because he loves us. We see that in the scripture. Jesus had compassion on people. You realize every person that Jesus healed, not one of those bodies that Jesus healed, not one of them did God live in. He didn't live in every body, literally every physical body that Jesus healed was actually the property of Satan. They were still dead in their trespasses and sins. They were still slaves to sin. So if he, just because of compassion, was healing people who were oppressed by the devil in their physical bodies, in bodies that still belong to the devil, how much more compassion does he have towards you in your body? Because you actually belong to him, your body belongs to him, and he works through you. So there is that component. If there was nothing else, that in itself is all you need to live healed. But there's more, because these bodies are what he has to work through. And this body of mine, that body of yours, is his responsibility. It's his responsibility to steward it and keep it in good shape. Just like, it's easy for us to understand, one thing we know about our military force is that they are committed to excellence. I think they do things, they're trying to maximize everything. I mean, we can kind of, you know, people can get down on different parts of the military and you may have certain opinions about it. But I'm telling you, by and large, they do things better than most anybody else on earth. They've figured out ways to take care of their stuff. They sure are big on steward, you know, being good stewards of their stuff, aren't they? Because they know, I got to take care of my equipment. You meet a guy that's been trained by the military, he's going to take care of his stuff. Because they demand that he takes care of his stuff. Because ultimately, it's not his stuff, it's their stuff. What do you think PT is about? Do they have... Frank, did they have you do PT so you could live a long, satisfied life? No, they have you do PT because that body belongs to them and they need to be able to use it. It's the same thing with our bodies. He is stewarding our bodies and he's doing everything he can to help us keep them in the best shape. And for, you know, and by the way, this might be convicting to you about what you do with your body, not just the sexual immorality part, but what are you doing to take care of your body? Yeah, that's pretty convicting, right? Because this is the only body he's got to work with. Taking care of your body is a matter of stewardship. And you spend a little time with that, you get super convicted. And you might be doing burpees with me and Rhonda. It's pretty serious. Romans 8, 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. I love this. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Does the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you? Yes. Well, he does if you're born again. If he does, that is the if part. The healing is not the if part. We've made healing the if part. Healing is not iffy. There is no if about healing. The man that came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That's the last time there was ever a question of if. And that was a man who, his body belonged to Satan. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the only question. Does the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you? Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, that's the question. Now, the rest of it's just all part of the plan. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Why does he do it? Because he loves you. Why does he do it? Because he needs that body to be in fighting shape. He needs that body to be in good working order because he's got plans to use that body. See, we have made this all so personal. Sickness and the deals with our bodies and whether we're going to be healed is a very personal matter to us. It's personal for us. It's about me and my sickness and my pain. And then there's Jesus and I'm coming to get... And I'm going to tell you, that is not God's perspective. We think, you know, it's me and it's my business. It's not. Your body doesn't belong to you, and sickness coming against you isn't even personal. Let me ask you this. You know, what was that movie we saw where the guy went and he saved all the people and he kept coming? You know, Andrew Garfield, was it called? That's a really good movie. Y'all should see it. You know what I'm talking about? What's it called? It was based on a true story. Do you know? Hacksaw Ridge. Good job, Larry. That shirt's working for you tonight. Hacksaw Ridge. Y'all remember? If you hadn't seen that movie, you should read. It's a little gory, but boy, that's a good movie. Hacksaw Ridge. He's going into the battlefield and he's rescuing people. And you know what's going on in the battlefield? Shots. Bam, 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 bam. Now let me ask you a question. I just suddenly woke Tony up. I'm just teasing. I just saw his head go like that. If you are on the battlefield and a shot comes from the enemy at you, let me ask you a question. Is that personal? It's not. It's not coming from a guy who's over there who's been out to get you and is trying to take you out because he don't like you or your mama. No. He's shooting at you because of whose you are. He's shooting at you because you are the enemy's force and he's trying to take out the enemy's force. You just happen to be, wearing a uniform representing an enemy to him and he's trying to get you. That, my friend, is what sickness is in your life. It's not personal. The enemy hasn't said, oh, Carol, I just particularly hate her. And, I do not like it when people talk all the time about how the enemy hates them and he's trying to get them. I don't care what the enemy's doing or who he hates. There's just one thing you need to know. Exactly. He is defeated. He's under your feet. That's just about everything you ever need to think about the enemy. Enemy under my feet. Yeah. It's not something that the enemy's been planning. He's got this and he's got Rhonda and he's got her in his sights because he really hates her and he wants to. No, Rhonda represents God in the flesh. And he is against God in the flesh. It's not personal. And we try to make it all about us. I'm telling you, we just try to make everything about us. It's true. Everything's about us. And then, to make matters worse, and that's common to man, but to make matters worse, we're Americans. We're the most independent, self-centered people on the planet. Everything is about us. We consume far more of the Earth's resources than any other people. And frankly, we deserve it because we are Americans and we are the greatest people on the face of the earth. We tell ourselves. We're so ridiculous. But we get all absorbed. We're just so self-obsessed. And so when it comes to sickness, we're just so self-obsessed with our sickness and this and that. And if you would just get over yourself for a minute and recognize that when sickness comes against you, when the enemy comes to take you out, it's not some personal vendetta being carried out. He's trying to wipe out whoever he can that represents God in the earth, because anybody he can get out of the way gives him one less that can be a danger to him. That's the deal. Seeking whom he may devour. It's not a personal thing. Seeking whom he may devour. But you, again, have God in you who infuses you with life by his Spirit who is within you. You have your own life infuser on the inside that's pumping divine life into your mortal body. Day and night, and night and day, and day and night. And he's renewing your youth. Oh, and he's driving out sickness and disease, things you don't even know about. Do you know how many times, let me just tell you this, you don't know how many times he's driven out things that never even came across your radar. You don't know. Because he's just in there working. Because he has such an interest in your body functioning. Because he needs that body. There's a scripture, I think it's Psalm 116. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Oh, is the death of his saints. And we always, think that means God's, at a funeral, God's as sad as we are. That's what a lot of people think that scripture means. Oh, yes, God comes to the funeral and he's sad like we are. It's so precious because she was so precious. Why would he be? He's got them in heaven. That's so ridiculous. Costly. It's costly to the kingdom. Just like it would be costly to the military force if, you know, every person who's taken out is one less on the force. That's one. Their strength is diminished by one. Their strength, you understand, they're not the force that they were. That's one less on our side. That's one less that can fight for us. That's one less that can work for us. That's one less that can go out and be Jesus in the world. There's one less person through whom I can manifest myself. There's one less pair of hands that can lay hands on the sick and bring recovery. There's one less pair of feet that can go and take the gospel. There's one less mouth that can preach and tell the good news. Do you see that? It's so costly. It's just a different perspective to consider for healing. This will help you to shore you up. You're not trying to get something from God. He's already made way for you to be healed, to live whole. He's already made the way. He's put the life infuser inside of you. Hallelujah. Let me just close her down. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to just say this as I close. The greater this revelation is in your life, and the more you really let this kind of, you know, click around inside of you and stew, you know, and you start thinking about it, it will do two things. One thing is it will demand of you that you go whole hog for God and that you live for Him. Because you realize how precious even your body is to Him. He needs me. He needs this body. Because so few of His bodies are actually doing anything for Him. So few of His bodies are even yielded to Him. And then the other thing, if you let this stew around inside of you, it'll help you to rise up and say absolutely no way and resist sickness. What Nate talked about last week. And the resisting won't be from down here, like, you know, you're fighting it off. You'll be way up here looking down going, how dare you? Do you know who I belong to? Do you know what this body is? This is where God lives. Why do you think you could even come against God's house? Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all stand. How many of you tonight are really concerned that Satan and his forces are taking over heaven? How many of you tonight, you're just really, we need to stay up and pray fervently because Satan's about to take down the pearly gates. Anybody really concerned about that? Well, I'm going to tell you, as much as that is the dwelling place of God, so is your mortal body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for us that our eyes would see more than they've seen. We'd see who we really are. We'd see who lives in us. How precious we are in your sight. Even our very bodies. Precious. Precious to you. Father, I pray for all of us that we'd be better stewards even of our bodies. And that we'd live our lives in submission to you and let you use our bodies. We thank you for health and healing and wholeness springing forth speedily in Jesus' name. Amen.